Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome back to Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. For a sunny Tuesday, I got the sun directly in my eyes. You know, occupational hazard, I guess. This is the 2022 Women's Awards Show. We have Best Sprinter. Won't probably have to spend too long on that one. Best Domestique, Cobbler, Puncher, Time Trialist, GC Rider, Team, and Best Overall Cyclist in the World. So we're bookending it with some obvious picks, but there are some tricky ones in there, like Puncher, Cobbler, maybe Domestique too is always an interesting one, how you balance second in the lead out versus some like a Van Dijk. So we'll get all into that. As always, this show is presented by Zwift, which is also the title sponsor of the Tour de France Femme Avec Zwift and Paris-Roubaix Femme Avec Zwift. There's also a new feature, and probably I'm the first person to Jungle Circuit yesterday, and there's your ghost, or a ghost appears. It's basically your pace for your PB on that course. And anyway, I saw it and I was just tootling along doing my allotted hour, as I said, now that I'm back from Paris each day. And I went past my pace ghost and I started talking trash to it, my own past version of myself, saying, you ain't got nothing. So, I mean, I guess it works. So that's proof of concept that I started trash to my own pace ghost, and, you know, it had nothing on me, previous me. So I actually really like that feature, just because it's like, sometimes you join a group, but then like a group might annoy you, or like sometimes they go too quick on the climbs and you're trying to do steady pace. But like when you're just trying to improve on your previous best, I really like chasing the ghost, actually, even when I'm tootling along. Have you done that, Benji? Do you talk trash to your own ghost?
I don't talk trash to my own ghost. I think the fun part about it is that it gives me an idea on how to pace my PB, and I don't necessarily go too hard at the start. I don't go too hard at the end, like stuff like that. It makes sure that I keep the tempo necessary to follow my ghost and then beat it right on the line and get my PB. That's how I view it.
Yeah, that's probably... No, I like to let the ghost know. if I don't let it stay in my draft. Anyway, best sprinter of 2022. I'll cut to the chase. It is Lorena Wiebes. She's won... let me have a look. How many races did she win in 2022? Wow, the list goes, it's like 20 races, 23 races or something. And a lot of them were at World Tour level too. So, yeah, it's obviously her. She's going to SD Works next year. She sprinted so well, she even won GC at Simac Ladies Tour, for example, or Ride London Classic. She won Shelter Price Women's One Day Race. She won the European Champs. She won two Tour de France Femme stages. It's probably in all of cycling, Benji, she is the clearest best in her discipline. I would almost more than Van Vleuten in GC, maybe not, but I think it's probably Wiebes, actually.
I think so as well. It's so easy to define her in one specialty because she's so goddamn good at sprinting compared to others who might be good at sprinting but might have other disciplines, like a Kopecky who can sprint the top five sprints but is mainly a cobbler on the side and so forth. So some riders are specializing in one discipline. That's a Lorena Wiebes of this world. Some are defining across others as well, but she is clearly by far the best here. You mentioned it, 21 sprint victories, I think 2 GCs next to that, 11 World Tour ones. That's just mad performances. And when I look at the other sprinters in the category, I think some disappointing ones this year, perhaps Emma Norsgaard. I think she had 2 wins this year, including Kreisbrei's Elite and Le Sommet, if my memory serves me right. And that is not necessarily what we expected from an Emma Norsgaard a few years ago. We expected that sprint to grow onwards, and next to that, her cobble skill to also grow a bit. And I feel like she stagnated a bit in this season. And then the next one, Charlotte Kohl. This is a special one, you know, because she's technically the lead out of Wibbers, but she ended up winning twice, I think, this season, one of which was with the lead out of Wibbers for her. So that's quite insane. Wibbers could have won another one if she sprinted for herself there. She will be the prime sprinter at DSM next year. So that's something I'm actually looking forward to, because she's the one sprinter in the peloton where I'm like, if she levels up, she might be getting closer towards Wibbers than the others have so far. And a sprinter that we've seen get close to Wibbers quite a few times in the last couple of years, beating Wibbers head-to-head, I think two or three times across the years, is Elisa Balsamo. And she had 9 sprint victories, of which 6 were World Tour. But a disappointing Tour de France femme. She was not on the level we expected her to be there. Her best spot of the season was the first spot, winning the likes of Gent Wevelgem and Brugge de Panne, Trofeo Alfredo Binda, those type of races. So she went the more versatile sprint way at the start of the season and couldn't really deliver it to the France femme necessarily. So yeah, the head-to-head versus Wibbers there was not top-notch when it comes to Balsamo on paper. Chiara Consoni at Valcar. She's going to UAE, if I recall. 5 sprint victories, 1 World Tour one in there. I would argue that she probably could have had a chance at a sixth victory there if she wasn't completely destroyed in, what was it, Valencia at the start of the season by a deviation of that Movistar rider. Oh,
can't remember the name. Oh, no, it's Barbieri on the leave. Guarishi,
that is the name indeed. And Barbieri, Barbara, I see where we got wrong there.
Yeah.
Marianne Vos, the literal translation from Dutch to English is probably Mary Fox. 8 victories, 8 World Tour victories. So pretty insane that all her victories are World Tour ones.
Yeah.
Not all of those are sprint victories, but I couldn't be bothered checking individually which one is a sprint victory and which one isn't. But
most
there were a few sprint victories in there. What, sorry?
Well, do we count the win against Persico in the first one in the Tour de France? There was a small group uphill.
Meh.
I don't count that, actually. And the Scandinavia ones, some of them count, some of them don't count. But then I don't think Balsamo or Vibas were there, which, you know, you can only be who you are. But I think the majority of them were sprints. But yeah, a couple were puncher wins. Still though, like compared to Consoni, she's won a lot more sprints. I do count versatile sprints if it's a flat sprint and a group of 20. So, for example, when Vos, her second win at the Tour de France Femme avec Zwift, stage 6, that was like there's 39 riders on the same time. Bastianelli, Kopecky, Balsamo are all there. Vibas is not. That counts as a sprint to me. Even though there was a climb close-ish to the finish. Oh, yes.
Who do you put on third and second, knowing we are so clear about the first place?
Balsamo
second. Vibas.
Balsamo's okay, clear third. Second, and then Vos third.
Vos third?
Vos beat Balsamo multiple times in flat sprints this year at Giro d'Italia. She won. She's way better than Consoni.
I'm not 100% on that. I think I've got clear Wibbers first. I've got clear Balsamo second, despite that flat sprint not being at the necessary level of actually being competitive with Wibbers in the Tour de France Femme. Marianne Vos, I feel like the majority were still like punchy sprints and so forth. There were a few, like you mentioned, that second Tour de France Femme one, for example, where she was there. A Kopecky, a Kohl, a Norsgaard, that doesn't fit it for me. I'm personally leaning more towards a Consoni when talking pure sprint, but I get why you put Vos in third. So it's a really close one. And just because I want to make more souls happy today, I'll put Consoni on third instead of Vos there. But I agree that I understand why you would put Vos on the third spot. I'll go for it.
No. It's kind of like I do value the versatility. It's important. That's the top three we have. The top two is identical. I think there's also, we said for Vibas, there's a clear gap between her and everyone else. I also, for Balsamo, think with when she gets a half-decent lead out, there's also a decent gap between her and the rest as well. But yeah, Vibas just on another level. Best domestique of 2022. This is, before we move on, just a word on Charlotte Kuhl. Do you think she'll step up? Like, yeah. What's DSM kind of know what they're doing, the women's team with the sprints? Like, do you think she can win? I think she wins the Tour de France Femme avec Zwift stage next year.
Ooh la la, that's a big call. I see the potential of winning a big race. I agree with that. And the thing is, now she'll get so many more opportunities. We'll be able to actually like compare her to the others properly instead of being able to do it once or twice per year, which is going to give us a better idea, a more all-round idea of what her skills are and how her limits are seen at the moment. And I think she'll step up. I think she'll be in the top three sprinters of the world next season. And I wonder how Wiebes will be affected by her transfer to SD Works. If I recall, they have actually transferred also over next to Wiebes a lead out for her, if my memory serves me right. Was it Guarishi that is also joining the team? Yes, indeed. So if that becomes the lead out of Wiebes there, they've at least got a bit more of a team around Wiebes, because that would also mean that Kopecky wouldn't be the lead out, is what I see based on that, depending on who's on the start list of each race and so forth. But hey, I guess we'll see what Wiebes has as an influence next year. I still expect her to be top sprinter, but she might have a bit less victories because the team might not be all-round built around her. Is that a bad assumption?
Well, yeah. Like, would I think having Pfeiffer Georgie, Megan Yastrab, Florci Mackay, it's pretty, amongst others, it's a good sprint train. And yeah, we'll see how the SD Works teams go, because in the best domestique of 2022 now, not too many SD Works names popping up, like Majerus. She was, I think, in my list last year, but not this year. They had a few issues, I think, kind of everyone riding for themselves. Neve Fischer-Black maybe the notable exception in a few races, but Trek are heavily featured with Van Dijk, Longo Borghini, who often rode for Balsamo and races like Trofeo Alfredo Binder, Cordon Rigaud, and Chapman's going there next year. She'll win it next year on Trek. So that's the three Trek riders. How do you sort between them? Because it's kind of like Cordon Rigaud does the early work, or she'll go in a bait move ahead. Longo Borghini will do the last lead out sometimes, and Van Dijk is like the puller back of moves with, say, 10Ks to go.
Exactly. I think Van Dijk is the better one of the three in my eyes when it comes to domestique work, and is more centered around the domestique work. There's less races where Van Dijk is leader, only Roubaix, if my memory serves me right. So if we look at those three, Longo Borghini has more leadership and more races. Cordon Rigaud is more the attacking type, and indeed Van Dijk is, first of all, the second last woman in the lead out. And next to that, also the rider that pulls back moves, and not only for the Trek team, but also for the Dutch team. She was pretty vital in the World Championships in pulling back moves and getting groups back and trying to keep Van Vleuten in the reins, despite her not having the best day with her arm and so forth. So I think out of those three, I'd give it to Van Dijk, but we've got plenty of others and other teams that also deserve to be named. And a team that deserves to be named, despite their riders not having the fame of a Van Dijk, for example, is a Movistar, because Van Vleuten wins a shitload of races, but we might say, oh, it's a one-woman army, but it's actually not the case. If you look at the races, they use their team well to try and launch Van Vleuten at certain moments. They try and neutralize until a certain climb to then launch Van Vleuten. And I feel like some names to be named are the likes of Eleni Sierra, who has been a domestique in some races, a co-leader in other races. She's a very punchy type and would arguably be able to win Amstel if they focus completely on her. Oda Bjanik, also a rider on that team that has been vital in a lot of races. I think Omloop, she was pretty vital in bringing back the group that was ahead, then launching on Omloop to get away the entire team. And if not the most important one this year, last year we had Sarah Martin as being the last woman in front of Van Vleuten on many of the races like San Sebastian and so forth. But this year I feel like that role has gone towards a young Colombian rider, Paula Patiño, and she's been pretty vital as the last launcher of Van Vleuten on climb. So out of those three, I think Bjanik deserves it, but I think Patiño also deserves it, being the last woman in front of Van Vleuten before she launches.
Satellite rider on the Super,
I think she was. I think she was, actually. Yeah.
Like Kemna style? When...
Yeah.
Yeah. Because remember, she's very small, right? and she pays Van Vleuten for a bit. But yeah, like you look, you can't win without a team no matter how good you are. And maybe Van Vleuten could win some races, but she wouldn't win as many. And you look at the team that Van Vleuten would always bring with her to races, and it would have Patino for the big races. It would have Sierra, Olde Bjanic. So, yeah, Patino seemed to step up this year. Brody Chapman was always good at FDJ. She got a few opportunities herself this year, but you know, I think she was very, very good. Lead outs are tricky. Like, how much last woman do they count? I guess they do in this instance. So like Pfeiffer Georgia, I think, always did a good job for DSM. Rihanna Marcus was good, and Anna Henderson for Jumbo Visma. Anna Henderson got a little bit more of her own role this year, but they were good for Voss throughout the year as well. But my first is Ellen van Dijk. Has to give it to her.
Okay.
Then I'm going with I don't know. The Trek riders, I just remember them so much more. And Domestique is always so subjective. But then I'm going to go with Marcus second. And okay. I have to give a Movistar rider third, Bjanic. But that's kind of a team Movistar award.
Okay. I've got a different top three. As in, I've got one the same rider, which is I've got Van Dijk in first. So at least we agree about the top step. So that's, I guess, a good win here in this discussion. But my other two are different. And there's so many other riders. Like, I recall Bertizzola and Magnaldi being really good at the World Championships for Italy and keeping it together and so forth, trying to keep Balsamo in the race and so forth, that kind of stuff. But they just don't make the top three for me. And I think Patino's satellite rider work in Tour de France Femmes compared to her launching Van Vleuten in so many ways, I think she deserves that second spot for me, and Chapman in third, who has been both a rider that was sent forward in the likes of Ronde van Vlaanderen and so forth. Eventually, she got caught, I think, on the last Paterberg. And then in other races, she was Domestique, like Flèche Wallonne. She brought back the break, a dangerous breakaway, together with Evita Muzic. But when Chapman was at the front, she was doing most of the work and closing that down. And then she got some opportunities herself. So the Swiss, for example, was strong there. But majority of the season, Domestique work. And I look forward to see what she does at Trek. And that is my top three. Ellen van Dijk, Patino, Chapman.
Okay. Hard to disagree with that. Patino, I could, you know, could go with as well. Best cobbler of 2022, I think, again, the top step is pretty clear. Lotte Kopecky, winner of Tour of Flanders. She also gets a 0.5 for Strada Bianca because it's a half cobble race. Second in Danilis Nogueira Corsa, which is a dot pro race. Fourth in Kern-Babelheim. It doesn't count? Okay. Oh, she in all these one-day races, from Strada to Paris-Roubaix, where she came second for a month, she finished in the top five in all but one of them, and it was ninth in Brugge de Panne, which was, I think, a pure bunch sprint. Yes. Yes, it was. So she's clearly first when you have, I mean, I say that, but I didn't give Dylan van Baal first, and he came second in Flanders and first in Roubaix. But I think Kopecky was the strongest cobbler. Do you agree at least on the top step, Benji?
I agree on the top step for the main reason that she won RVV, and next to that, she would have won Roubaix if SDWorks' tactics were at least a bit comparable, because it was comprehensible what they were trying that day. They had Van den Broek Black and Majerus as leader at the start, and then last minute they switched towards Kopecky when it was far too late to switch to Kopecky. If Kopecky has such a season up to that point, she's 100% the leader for that race. I don't give a fuck what the actual individual expectations of the other two are. It's clear that she's the better one on that parkour that day, and that she has the finishing touch as well that a Van den Broek Black and a Majerus don't have. You can use the others to go up the road and so forth, but in the end, she's the leader, and they didn't use her as that. So, hey, that's what happens. But she's still first, despite not winning Roubaix next to RVV. Other cobblers? I think Van Vleuten's supposed to be named here, because Juan Omloop just ahead of Vollering in that last sprint at the end after riding away on the Mur. Then we had second in Strade, counts a bit. Second at RVV, just behind Kopecky. But she didn't ride Roubaix, right? Or am I really stupid right now?
She didn't ride Roubaix. I think she said she'd never do it again because that's where she hurt herself last year, and she fractured her hip or something. So she didn't do RVV, but yeah, it's kind of goes under the radar how good her classics, Cobble Classics season was, you know, just because her Ardennes was so good, and then there's all the GC success. So it's hard between her and Balsamo. Balsamo can really finish the easier classics. She won Gent-Wevelgem, but then Roubaix and RVV are way too hard for her. I'm not even sure where she came in there. She came 28th in RVV.
DQ'd in Roubaix.
Oh, yeah. So, that was a long sticky bottle. That was funny. Actually, that was the thumbnail of the video. I'm going Van Vleuten second, Balsamo third, just because there's no other real standouts that won. You know, maybe like Chiara Consoni won Doise d'Or, but then nothing else.
Okay. I'm going to be a bit controversial here. I did not include Balsamo in this list. And the reason I didn't is because I don't see those like Gent-Wevelgem of the world and so forth, those races which have some cobbles but are destined to be a sprint. I don't see those necessarily as the cobble races of the world. I'm looking at an RVV, I'm looking at a Roubaix, I'm looking at an Omloop, those type of races. So for me, I'm pointing at my completion of the podium first, Kopecky. But when it comes to the second spot, I'm most likely going to be pointing at Van Vleuten for second. I think winning Omloop second RVV is definitely above that spot. Why do I not put Longoborghini on second? I'll put Longoborghini on third. She won Roubaix. But the reason that she's not second for me is that Dainen won Roubaix by going early last year. Longoborghini did it in a tactical way, a team performance where they outplayed SD-Works, and SD-Works completely bottled it. And as a consequence, Longoborghini got away and was able to build out her lead. I think Longoborghini won by being one of the stronger riders, but she was not necessarily the strongest rider that day. And for me, that results in Longoborghini getting third, Van Vleuten in second, Kopecky in first in this list. Is that a manageable top three?
Yeah, I think so. And also, like, Longoborghini had to ride for Balsamo in races like Binder. Yeah. If we're making it, you know, more classic-y, Binder, Brugge de Panach, and Wevelgem. All right, that's cobbled. Best cobbled rider, best puncher. This is a tricky one. Again, definitional issues. If you win a puncher race not in a punchy way, does that count? A la Remco, although Liège he did, but Worlds he kind of didn't. Annemiek van Vleuten, for example, won Liège, but she did just ride away on the climb. But then she was second in Flèche and Strade when Kopecky beat her in the punch to Siena, fourth in Amstel when Cavalli was just on fire. Cavalli, I mean, she had a pretty good Ardennes campaign when first in Flèche, first in Amstel, and sixth in Liège. And then she was good in the Giro d'Onore too, but then she obviously crashed out of the Tour, and that was kind of her season done. She was sixth in Emilia afterwards. And not quite no Ardennes form. I'm going still with Cavalli first in this category. I then have Van Vleuten second. I then, now it's between Ludwig and Vos. Vos is not winning any punch on 1500 meters 10% or 2Ks 10% like a Murder Wee, but on 500 meters 6%. That's where she wins a lot of races, where she beat Persico in the first tour stage, Scandinavia stage. So that's the toss up, and Ludwig too. So I'm going still with Vos third, just because Ludwig only has that one punchy win, whereas Vos has a few more.
I think that's a good take. I think I've got Cavalli in first. I have a similar opinion to you. Winning Amstel Flèche, she was the strongest when it comes to the punchy races on those days, the real punch. and then Van Vleuten won LBL and World Champs, LBL. I feel like LBL in women's cycling is more of a climber race than a pure puncher's race than it is in men's cycling. Is that a...
Yeah, I think
so. Is that a right comment?
The climb, I mean, it's marginally, takes marginally longer, but also like the sequencing of, you know, Rochefoucauld Redoute, it's a lot of climbing in a short period of time compared to a lot of the races. And yeah, someone like Van Vleuten or Van der Breggen can and have in the past made the differences easily, like not just punching away with an attack. They literally set a tempo and people drop.
Yep, exactly. That's kind of the take I have. And Van Vleuten is still second for me. Winning LBL and World Champs is still next level. I'd argue that World Champs is... She wasn't the best punch on that parcours, but she survived and was able to come back to the front group and was able to ride away in the last section. It's a puncher's race, but not really the puncher's victory is what I'd say. Second in Flèche, second in Strade, those are good results. Kopecky winning RVV and Strade, I'd say that RVV is a tiny bit punchy, majority cobbly. So same for Strade, also half-half, so that's why she's not in the top three for me. The thing with Leona Lippert is, I would argue that she was probably the top three pure puncher rider this year, but she has no results to back it up because she can't finish it off. Like, the only race where she could potentially do it is the likes of an Amstel, but Cavalli was better in that race because the group was larger. So I don't see it for her, despite feeling like at World she was by far the strongest puncher, for example. Mivia Doma was that type of rider last year where we had the feeling that she could punch away on a 1 kilometer, 12% climb, whatever, and then couldn't finish it off afterwards. That's the type of feeling I have with Lippert this year. And Nivia Doma just had a bad first part of the season. Her Tour de France form kind of saved it for her. But following winning Brabantse, I'm going to... It's difficult, huh? How much do we rate an Emiliana Trivelli Varazzini? The competition there was not significant. Longoborghini won both of them. I think I'm going to go for Ludwig on third or Voss. I'm also like on the edge of those two because if Voss would have won that second Tour de France Femmes stage ahead of Ludwig, the one that Ludwig ended up winning, I would have given it to Voss. But because that didn't happen, I'm going to give it towards Ludwig. Is that viable?
I don't agree, but it's fair enough. I didn't like the way Ludwig raced this year. But she also, I think, won a small group sprint at the end of it. It was a climb, but it was a group, and it flattened out at the end of Scandinavia. She won in a punchy way, I think, ahead of Lippert. Yeah, it's justifiable. Anyway, best time trialist of 2022. I have the world champ on top. I think last year it might have been a little bit closer between, no, Royce beat her in the European champs by 6 seconds. I've got Ellen van Dijk first, and then if she's first, the clear second is Marlon Reusser. Van Dijk pretty much goes to any race where there is a TT, and she usually wins or comes second. And so the difficulty for me is who is third. We got the Bike Exchange team all doing good time trials, Faulkner the best of them, and then Brown a surprise medal at the World Championships. Well, maybe not home World Championships, second. Putting 30 seconds into Reusser too. And the problem for her is not many TTs at all. In fact, she won the Australian National Champs, and then that was her only... No, and then she won Com Games TT. So she's clear third for me. Faulkner didn't have enough other results, and then there's no other standouts. I mean, Van Vleuten, of course... But she crashed in the World Champs TT. Vollering didn't do too many. So, yeah, I got Brown because the results speak for themselves.
Yeah, I think that's a good top three. It's exactly the one I had on my list as well. I have Van Dijk in first, Reusser in second, and I've got Brown in third, but was really close with Faulkner because Faulkner started off the season well. I think she won a time trial at the Tour de Suisse and won the prologue at the Giro d'Italia. Done, if my memory serves me right. So those two, plus then getting sixth at the World Championships, which was after she was a bit meh when it comes to her preparation towards it after, I think, an illness towards it. So I think without that illness, she might have gotten the top three there, and we might have seen a a top three step for her in this list, but unfortunately she didn't make it. Let's hope she does next year. So that's it for Time Trial. Not too much to add. Van Dijk just simply the strongest. Why do we not put a Van Vleuten on this list? Because she wasn't able to prove it with too many World Tour Time Trials this year?
Yeah. She crashed out of World Champs. No. Did she finish the World Champs TT?
Van Vleuten?
Yeah.
I think she did. Seventh or something?
Seventh. But isn't
she
that
crashed in the relay, by the way.
Oh, it's the relay she crashed in. Oh, okay. That's why I was so confused. And the relay was after the individual TT, because I remember her. Okay, it was the relay. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Seventh in World Champs and then sixth in a prologue. You can't give it to her. Even if, you know, in theory, she is a top five TT rider on a hilly course. So did she win the Olympics TT? She did easily.
It wasn't
actually,
this year, so.
It wasn't. Anyway, best GC rider, speaking of Annemiek van Vleuten, best GC rider climber, like, this is obvious. She did the triple TDFF Giro and Vuelta, although the Vuelta is a little bit shorter. Like, there's no discussion to be had. Van Vleuten's best GC rider slash climber in the world. It's, again, like, incredibly dominant. We don't see anything like it in men's cycling. The difficulty is then the second and third positions, where we have a Cavalli who was looking really, really good in the Giro Rosa, Giro Donna, and then crashed out of the Tour. Vollering, who was pretty good throughout the year, but didn't take a step up, but was still good, but I was maybe a little bit disappointed. Mulman, who beat Van Vleuten at Romandy, but then that's at the end of the year, and then she crashed, or DNF, or abandoned the Tour, and SD Works are kind of weird at the Tour. And then there's a few others like Labupa, Sko, Longaborg, Ghini. But yeah, who have you got in your, I assume you have Van Vleuten first, Benji, who are your second and third positions?
I've actually not got... Okay, I do. I have Van Vleuten first. I've got Van Vleuten in first. And when it comes to my second spot, I'm going to have to give it to Vollering this year, as Vollering was able to get that second spot at Tour de France Somme, which is more valuable in my eyes than doing something at the Giro d'Italia, for example. I also believe that Van Vleuten dominated Itzulia Women by winning three stages and ended up winning the GC. So that's a pretty vital result in that list for me. Next to that, getting third at Serratese adds on to that a tiny bit. Cavalli second at Girodon is valuable, but crashing out of Tour de France from really beheaded that potential second spot for me. So Vollering in second, and I will put Cavalli in third, with the side note that I actually kind of forgot how good she is at time trialing, or how mesh she is at time trialing. I think she got close to like winning Crone d'Asnol last year. But then this year she only had one time trial or prologue in Giro d'Italia, so we didn't get to see that much. So I'd like to re-see her time trial skill next year to be able to judge that properly, because it's been a while since we've seen her on a time trial bike outside of that prologue at the Giro d'Italia. But some names I want to mention is Juliette Labou, fourth at Tour de France from winning Vuelta a Burgos, despite there having been a crash, I think, of Vollering in the early days there. That still matters. I'd say she ends up in the top five of this list for me, because Longaborg Ghini was fourth at Giro d'Italia, sixth at Tour de France Somme, and so forth. So that's something there. There's one rider that beat Van Vleuten at a race here on a mountain, and that's Molman, but I wouldn't put her in the top five of this list for me. Am I wrong in that? Because...
Yeah, I mean, she needs a specific type of course, which is a climb to Tion 2000, where in Van Vleuten's peak condition, I think she's still better than Mulman, but yep. I think Mulman might even be better than Vollering on a climb like that, actually. We just, in the Tour, we did not have a climb that hard. I can't remember. Next year, they have the Tourmalet, which is a little bit harder. In fact, it's very similar, but maybe even a little bit harder than Dion 2000. So that's where we'll see. Mulman's changed team. She's going to AG Insurance NXTG. We'll see how she goes and stacks up against Vollering on the Tourmalet. So, but yeah, my second is Vollering. I feel like Cavalli could have, if she didn't get crashed out of the Tour, I really thought she might have been a bit better than Vollering, actually.
Yeah.
But she didn't, and Vollering beat her in Basque Country and some other races. So And Cavalli for me is a clear third. She was 152 off Van Vleuten in the Giro Donna, and then there was like 5 minutes behind her, and she also, I think, pushed Van Vleuten a little bit. She let be her on a climby stage, maybe it was a descent attack, and took some time back on Van Vleuten. I can't remember which, not stage seven, stage nine she did. So that's always impressive to see stuff like that. And yeah, there's no one else really that won or consistently came second or third in a lot of other races. You know, Lebu was good in some, but in the top World Tour races, she wasn't podiuming consistently.
I think so as well. That's my take as well. Now, after doing the GC lists, is there a difference between GC rider and climber, you think? I'd say no, because Van Vleuten is still the best climber in my eyes. I think a Mollman just moves up a tiny bit, perhaps. But then again, it's kind of... we've had a season where time trial really wasn't that vital. So I feel like GC rider is kind of climber at this point, in this season at least. But we've gone over the individual trophies. We've had best sprinter, best Thomas Tieg, best cobbler, best puncher, best time trialist, best GC rider. Now on to one that is more... within the group, the best team of 2022, which was it? And we've got some names that can be given to the likes of the number one team in the world on paper is D-Works. Movistar is there, with Van Vleuten being the rider that took up, I think, over half of their points this year. Valcar being a team that can be named, with Persico, with Consoni for the sprints and so forth. FDJ out there who punched above their weight, I would dare to say, with Cavalli stepping up, with the likes of a Tour de France stage win when Cavalli ended up crashing still for Utrecht Ludwig, that kind of stuff. Trek Segafredo, arguably technically the strongest in the likes of Roubaix and so forth, and played the best as a team. Does that make them the number one team in the world for you, Trek Segafredo?
Yeah, they are, actually. And I have Movistar second. And SD Works are kind of like UAE, aren't they? Like, their tactics in some of these races were horrendous. I don't know why Toby keeps running up to me. Really, he wants something from me. But yeah, SD Works 11 World Tour wins and Ronde van Vlaanderen, so a monument. But then Roubaix, they kind of stuffed. They did win two World Tour GCs. And they won Strada, which is a big, big race for the women. And Trek were 12 World Tour wins. A lot of them were stages, but there was Paris-Roubaix in the women's tour there as well, and three classics with Balsamo, where it was a whole of team performance. Particularly Trofeo Alfredo Binder was really impressive. And yeah, Movistar, like, it's kind of like UAE last year. They won the three of the biggest races and stages along the way, and Liège. I know it's all Van Vleuten, but there's other riders in there, and they form the team around us. So, yeah, I have Trek, Movistar, SD Works. Is there anyone on which team am I missing out on?
A DSM, do you consider that, considering work around Rebus in the same way that they do for Van Vleuten?
True, yeah. How do you balance? Like, they have 16 World Tour wins, and they're all Vibas, but like, they literally have a lead out. So it's kind of more important than Movistar. How do I balance GC and sprints? Yeah, it's close. But I'm still going with SD Works third and Movistar second, because DSM in other races, like with Lippert, the team tactics I don't think were always great.
Okay, I get that top three, and I've got exactly the same one. The reason that is D-Works doesn't deserve to be on the first and second spot is because, just like in the men's cycling, we talk about UAE as having a top rider, Pogacar, and because he's so good, because Pogacar is that good at UAE, they tactically don't have to be good to be able to win races. And you see that because their tactics are really off when it comes to the men's UAE team. And when we look at SD Works, they are so good when it comes to their whiff of the team with so many top riders that they don't have to be tactically good to win races, which makes them the number one points-based team in the world. But if we look at the tactics they have, they completely bottled the likes of Roubaix. Their tactics in RVV were also not top-notch despite winning that race. So there's so many races where tactically they should have done better, and they could have won so much more than they did if they played it better. So as a consequence, they punched below their weight tactically and as a team. So that's why I put them third instead of second and first. Movistar in second for the same reason you put it there, because Van Vleuten is top-notch, and the rest of the team were built around her in those races. Norsgaard, perhaps the one that was a bit meh in that team, but first I would argue that we have the likes of Trek-Segafredo, and we see that Trek-Segafredo is a team that in a lot of races just rides as a team, and knowing that the team-based victories that they have are so vital. Like, for example, Trofeo Alfredo Binda. Patrick just spoke about it. That's a race where Longoborghini spent her complete race to be with Balsamo, when that Van Dijk was also there to help out Balsamo. And so many of these one-day races, they were as a team surrounding Balsamo. In Roubaix, they played it so well with rolling attacks. Longoborghini was the one that went up the front. So Trek-Segafredo was the team for me when it comes to the best team of 2022. And that's what you predicted at the start of the season. I was skeptical at the start of the season when it comes to SD Works versus Trek, but you said Trek's going to be the better team in 2023. So
too many cooks in the kitchen. Yep. Too many cooks in the kitchen at SD Works. So that's why the integration of Veeb is going to be fascinating next year. Whereas like Longoborghini, the Italian world champ, comes over from Volcar. She got zero problem riding for her, because she knows the only way she can win Roubaix is team tactics being paid back to her, because one-on-one she might not be the strongest. So they all buy into that philosophy at Trek, it seems, for the most part. I'm really keen to see how Chapman goes moving into a system like that. It could be really interesting, particularly in the Ardennes, where they don't have anyone that can really sprint too well, so they need to use team tactics. They also don't have the best puncher, so Chapman, I think, will be, we'll see her in moves next year. Anyway, Trek, like SD Works, should be the best team in the world. They should be. With all the riders they have, they should be next year as well, but they weren't this year. They didn't quite make it work. The Vollering and Moelman on the road without Van der Breggen. Without Van der Breggen, it didn't look so good this year. Anyway, best cyclist in the world. Van Vleuten for me is one. I know Veeb has won more races. I know she won 23 races, a dozen or so at World Tour level, including one days. But Van Vleuten won all three of the big GC races, plus others, plus a monument, plus she was good in the classics, plus she won world championships like with a broken fucking arm. So like, it just has to be Van Vleuten first. Even when she wasn't on, she still won. Like, Van Vleuten first, Vieber second, and I haven't made up my mind on third yet, despite thinking about it for a little bit. So I'll let you do your 1-2.
Okay, I've got the same one too. It's simple. Annemiek van Vleuten in first. She was the best rider of the season with all those races she won. Giro, Ceratesi Challenge, Tour de France Femme, World Championships, and plenty of other ones. I think Valenciana at the start of the season. Lorena Ubers, best sprinter in the world. And compared to men's cycling, in women's cycling, we have a clear sprinter that is so much better than the rest. So much that she deserves to be mentioned in the best cyclist of the world. We don't have that in men's cycling since the passing of, well, not the passing, but the removal from the peloton of the likes of Marcel Kittel and Mark Cavendish at their prime. So it's good to see that in women's cycling we have that top rider, because that means we can name them as best cyclists in the world, or at least in the podium category. So second is Lorena Wibbs, and the rest of the riders have like half a season where they were amazing and half a season where they disappointed. As in, Kopecky was amazing at the start of the season with the likes of RVV, plenty of other races in the couple seasons, so that's amazing. But Tour de France Femme, disappointing. Balsamo, exactly the same thing. First half of the season, perfect. Second half, disappointing. Mariano Vos, first half of the season, disappointing. Second half, perfect. Cavalli, first half of the season, perfect. Second half, crashed out, and as a consequence, disappointing. So this is becoming pretty difficult to guess, no? Demi Vollering, consistent throughout the season, but not getting those top results that you would expect from a Vollering. So I will go for a Cavalli in third, because she's the only one of the lists where the disappointing results were because of an injury and not because of them just being worse. Is that a valid reason? I'll take it anyway, regardless.
I'm going with Balsamo. She won six World Tour races. Three of them were World Tour Classics. Cavalli, only two World Tour level Classics, plus Mont Ventoux. Of course, she was better in GC at the Giro Donna. And then Balsamo won stage two of the two stages of the Giro Donna and a stage at Cerritizit. I think she would clearly, like, inarguably be third if she'd won a Tour de France Femme of Exclusive stage, but she didn't. So that has to count against her. If Cavalli, if she'd just come third in the Tour de France Femme, I would probably have a third, but she didn't. I know she crashed out, not her fault. So I'm going with Balsamo just because her start of the year in the World Champs jersey, those classics going 1, 2, 3 in the space of a week, winning three World Tour classics. I think she was still really good. That's my top three. Any other notes from the season, Benji? Any other predictions for next year? Someone who you thought they had like a bad year through no fault of their own and they're going to step up next year, or just a young rider that might progress, like a Muzic or a Labou? Like, is Labou with that Tourmalet an actual viable candidate for third in the Tour de France Femme of Swift next year?
I think she is, because it's only one spot difference, eh? Like, there's obviously the factor where Cavalli might finish that Tour de France Femme and end up in that spot, end up being third then instead of Labou. But if you're fourth in the Tour de France Femme, you can fight for the fat spot in the Tour de France Femme. I'm saying that, but on the men's side, I'm saying that Godu will never put him in the Tour de France. So I'm working with...
She was only like 40 seconds behind Nuviadoma. Yeah. And it's different. Like, Godu was nowhere near Thomas.
Yeah. That's true. Now, I would argue that I look forward to seeing Chapman at Trek and see what that pushes into that team directive there. I think that's an addition to that team that will make the team stronger there. I think UAE is going to be a top three team next year. Getting Consonni, getting Persico, getting loads of riders surrounding that, I think UAE is going to make a major step up and will be in at least the top four teams when we do this exact discussion next year. Do you think that's a good thing?
I think so. Like, don't be surprised to see. So Bastianelli still contracted there as a rider. Yeah. She did win some races this year, but she won Omloop van Het Hagerland. She was okay in the classics, and not okay. She was quite good, but she really couldn't. She didn't have the kick to win at World Tour level. The maybe exception is the reduced sprint in the Tour de France Femme, which she came second behind Voss. Looked up for her to mentor those young Italian sprinters like Bertizzolo, a sprinter? No, she's a puncher. Ignore that. I mean, Chiara Consonni and Persico. Look for her to, mentor them, and she might keep riding. She might go in the car in 2024, but you're right. It's interesting to see what they're doing there. It's basically an Italian team. I think Michaela Harvey signed there as well for two years from Canyon SRAM. She came fifth in the Giro d'Onna in 2020. She's only 24. So she had a better 2020, not so good 2022. I know they'd have to win a lot of sprints, Benji. They have to win a lot of sprints, even if SD works.
Tribus.
Yeah. And Balsamo. Like, those two aren't as fast as Balsamo. Persico, maybe. She could be a superstar. Like, what if she's a proper, like, real superstar?
I think she is.
Yeah. Like, maybe she can win GC at Basque Country if it's a punchy course.
Yeah, true. She's made a significant step up from last year, and we see that. I think she got close to winning World Champs at Cyclocross, like second or first. I don't even remember. But then we see this year where she makes that step up on the road significantly, and the Tour de France Femme is the real indicator of that with the result that she had there. So it was like gradually stepping up. Giro d'Onna, I think, sixth or seventh, and then Tour de France Femme, fifth or fourth, and then eventually...
And third at Worlds.
Yeah, third at Worlds. So next year, second at something else.
Yeah.
I am curious what she'll do at the Classics, knowing that on paper she has that CX history. And yeah, I'm saying third in RVV. Top top three.
Yeah, RVV, she'll be the leader. I think for like Hen Vavelhem and Brugge de Panne and other races, and Binda, she'll be the leader, but the flatter ones, they'll have to go for Consoni or Bastianelli, I think. But that's our award show. Thanks for listening as always. Thanks for Zwift support of the podcast and women's racing both this year and in the future. And we'll see you maybe with the Meme Awards later this week. Ciao.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.